Hey guys, welcome to the show. I hope you have an awesome day. I'm sitting here. There's no tree this week. He is taking a vacation from me, mainly, and that'll be fine. So I can't wait to see y'all. We have a really awesome guest guy, Patrick Hinkey Jr. I'm really excited to talk to him about all the things he does. I don't know how he does all those things. And we got our awesome co-host, Jay Pineapples is joining in today. So that'll be cool for him because he's amazing. And that's what I'm saying. So anyways, hi guys, only if I cannot take it what I do. Hey, this is the time where I share these things with you. Oh, I really just need to stick this on the Facebook. Only if I knew what I was doing, now I know I'm hooked. Watch WrestleMania yesterday. Anyway, what am I supposed to say? All them words that I say in myself, in my dreams, all my light time screams. Now I gotta do it forever and ever be. Hey, I'm not yelling out loud, I'm just giving right now. I'm just running right how I'm like a brown cow, give me chocolate milk. Wow, what am I gonna be? And only if I cannot ever do what I see, and I am just gonna wrap up my time looking back because I'm trying to write a right rhyme, and then I'm getting like I never know. I got 24 seconds left and still I gotta cry, teardrops rolling down my cheek. Oh my, what am I doing if I can never really cry? Know that I could do it only if I couldn't do all them little things that I came to do, like I wanna be here right with you. I knew that I could rap and I'm keeping it cool, and everybody's like, hey, how you do? Well, hi guys, as I'm hopefully it switches over, I'm still typing stuff right now. Hello Jaime,
good evening. How's everyone doing today?
I'm move everybody up here. Boom,
can everybody hear me?
Yes, you sound great. Oh, okay, see the, okay. your name's good to go, and everybody's everybody right now.
Nice. How's it going, Patrick? So,
what's up, man? How you doing?
All right. What time is it where you're at right now?
It is 6:04 p.m. in Brooklyn, okay, New York.
So you're an hour ahead of me and Jason and I. So I'm up here in Illinois myself.
Awesome, man.
You had a good weekend?
Yeah, man. Busy, but good. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
We're still recovering from PAX.
Jason asked me yesterday or this weekend if I could come on. I was so excited, and then I forgot. And I had a busy weekend. We'll get to that in a little bit. But when I remembered that I was like on, I was like, oh shoot, I gotta run downstairs and get on the mic and everything else. I was like, but not only that, I need to grab some fun comic books so I can bring up and ask Patrick what nice. He's looking at recently too, and show him what my, you know, anytime you get with a fellow comic artist or not artist, enthusiast, whatever, you're like, you wanna see what they're flexing on, then you yeah, wanna man. Flex a little bit too. So
absolutely,
I'm yeah, excited man. To get to know more about you. And I'll preface this too: I know nothing about you yet. Okay, so
it's all good.
All Jason yeah, said was, "I got a comic book guy. Come on." I was like, "I'm there. You ain't gotta say no more. I'm there."
Awesome, man.
All right. So you should know that Patrick Jaime is gonna. So if you look to the left here, he actually has some of his best issues like ready to show you. So just nice. Give your heads up. He's gonna show that, like, he wants to show off his stuff. He always does this, and this is why he's here. But anyways, all right. So now it's time for headlines of the week. Let me pull up that. I'm producing my own show today, so it's always fun. Here we go. Headlines of the week time. Headlines of the week. There you go. Oh wait. One more time, and Patrick, could you give me a headlines of the week? Here we go. Go.
Headlines of the week. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Trey's going to be very mad that he is not here. Well, no, because he would have just talked all the, like, it's pretty impressive, but we'll get into this, but he's just did a game where he did over 90 voices in the game, right? Yeah, it's called WrestleQuest. It comes out in May. We'll talk about it in a second. But yeah, super impressive. All right, so it's headlines of the week. Everybody tell me the best thing that happened to you this week or forever ago. Nobody's been on the show in a while, so it's fine. Mine will be I got puked on.
One to open up with for sure.
Yeah, I was trying to think of something better, but that's what I got.
I'm going to say Chasers.
Nice. What do you think, Patrick?
I'm going to say a sore throat at PAX East.
Nice. That's impressive. It's why he's cool. But yeah, mine is, so this week has been crazy in that I'm trying to record a new song from my rap group. We've been together for 20 years now, and we have a new album coming out. And they told me last week, they're like, hey, we need you to come up with a new song. And I just done South by Southwest. And so anytime I do a big event, and I mentioned this to Patrick, anytime I do a big event, I get sick. Like every single, no matter what I do, if I do ACL or something else, I get destroyed. And so and then my whole family gets destroyed. And then, my son had like a crazy thing, and my wife is sick, and she's coughing up, and my daughter's coughing up, and they're like, oh, she has bronchitis. Well, last night was insane. She didn't go to sleep. She's touching her ear. We end up finding out she has pneumonia and an infection in her ear. And so as we're giving her amoxicillin, she pukes it all over me and the French fries and burgers she had for lunch. And then I'm doing all this while I'm in the bathroom, so it was just not fun. It was not a fun
situation. At that point, you just jump in the shower.
It was not awesome. Well, it's even better than like yesterday where like I'm holding her and she just pees on me. I'm like, oh yeah, forget how it feels to get peed on. It's not awesome. Yeah. Nobody likes that. So yeah, it's been a fun. I mean, when you're sick though, you can pee on me, puke on me. It's life. Happens absolutely. With kids. Happens with us adults sometimes. It's what it is. So what do you think, Jaime? Chaser.
So two things that are cool that connect with it. My daughter had her first horse show of the year. So my daughter is an equestrian, or trained to be equestrian. I don't know how, at what point you kind of stop or pick that title up. So she works with horses, right? Nice. She had her first show of the year with her newly leased horse for herself. His name is
Monty. Wow.
And together they scored. They rode five times and placed in two or three of the events total. And she got second place for all of them. So it was pretty fun this weekend, but it was long and grueling and is one of those things, and that's fine. So it comes with the territory. And the other thing was I have a favorite artist, Patrick. I don't know if you know who John Jiang is, but this guy.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he's one of my new favorite artists. And this last weekend I was on a Whatnot show and I just popped into this guy. I had been on his show for a long time, but I like him a lot. And I only limit to people who I buy to like four shows, but I show up at different times for all of them, if that makes sense. So I hadn't been to this guy's show, but I reserved money for him. And I was like, hey, let me see. What do you got? He goes, oh, we got this chaser that's still out there. So I went ahead and bid on it. It was $30 for, you know, the whole thing. And he goes, oh, you caught the ceiling. And I was like, shut up. What'd I get? And he showed me a number of things. And if you saw, I got this J. Scott Campbell X-Men, right? This Virgin.
Love it. Love it. Yeah, right? I love Rogue too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So there's this one and there's another one that's done with her standing up, so you can see like full body, right? But I love the 90s coloring
all day, yeah. The Jim Lee type, yes. Mm-hmm.
So then he shows me this, which I was so excited about.
Oh, wow, yeah, dude.
So if you can see, this is a connecting cover of Jiang's work for the Power Rangers, and this is the appearance of the Death Ranger. But this is sick, and he showed me this. I was like, you gotta be kidding me, no way,
just take my money at that point, yeah,
right, exactly. That's what I said. So, but it was so funny because I had just finished purchasing from him. Department of Truth.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And the black and white one also. And both.
Love it. Jiang's, yeah, dude.
Covers as well. So I was like in a Jiang heaven right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you can tell, Patrick, but right.
Yeah, I see the long boxes. You're my type of guy. So.
Yeah, but you can't see that cover. Well, I'll bring it out later, but that is Jiang's cover of Superman, Son of Kal-El, and it's both of Superman and Jonathan Kent on there.
Love it.
You can't see it well over here, but it is a gnarly cover.
You have a CGC graded?
Yes, that one is graded 9.8, and so I'm pretty proud of that over there. It's pretty sick, man.
Nice.
But anyway, that's like why three I said chasers. I'll share more about my conference stuff you can share with me later, but go ahead and tell us your story.
Yeah, man. So this past weekend, I was in Atlantic City with my wife, kind of like just recovering from PAX East. And so like all of PAX East, we did a panel on the game. I was demoing the game for a ton of people. I got interviewed a whole bunch of times. And the entire time, I'm like, oh, yeah. Can you dig it? The whole time. And my throat was fine, holding up fine. And then this guy came over to me and he bought a copy of my PS2 book. And he bought at Legacy Comics, we have some really cool stuff in the fact that we have physical comics, and then we also have these, which are trading cards in the front, and then in the back is a QR code, and you scan it and it opens the comic on your phone. Because we know, like, what? Some people, yeah. So we know some people like reader's copy, some people like CGC, but then some people just like to read, but they want to have something collectible, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's the hard part with the digital stuff is, yeah.
Yeah, like, you still want something collectible, even though you buy it digital. So that's why we created the cards. And right before I went to PAX East, I posted on the Instagram, like, if anyone wants cards, I'm going to have them on me. Just approach me at the booth. I didn't, you know, I have a nice following on Instagram, like, close to, like, 6,000 people. But I didn't think anyone was, like, going to approach me because it's a video game con. And somebody approached me, and they're just like, give me, like, $25 worth of cards. And I'm just like, what? And they're like, yeah, give me, like, $25 worth of cards. So I gave them, like, 4 cards. And then, like, a couple of minutes later, another guy comes. It's like I sold like 15 cards. And
that's
I
awesome.
Just, like, I went and called one of my friends, and I was just like, holy crap. Like, I was cursing and stuff. And I ended up getting a sore throat from being happy.
Yep.
And not from being Macho Man, you know? So it was just so I had a sore throat at PAX East because I was just like, I came there to, like, rep WrestleQuest, which I did a ton of interviews, and, like, I had a ton of fun helping them out. But then it was just like, it was really cool because, people came out to support Legacy Comics too, so it was super, super cool. So yeah, sore throat to Paxi.
So nice. So that brings up so many questions, Jason. You're gonna have to stop me wherever you feel like I need to be stopped. Okay. What is Legacy Comics?
So we're not there yet, Trey. We're not there yet. I mean,
that's okay.
Why I say, yeah, stop me where I'm.
Oh yeah, sorry. We're gonna do not a quiz, but we're gonna do a showdown between me and Patrick, and you're gonna get to be the judge, Jaime. Okay. Or, I'm sorry, Jay Pineapples. And the winner, I don't know if you've been watching the show the last few weeks, but it's gonna be fun to see. Yeah, well, I can't wait. But the winner of this quiz will get this amazing NFT right here.
What is that?
It's you.
What?
It's you. Oh my
God. It's our. I thought it looked like a bunch of scribbles.
It's our high bay NFT that I've created.
I'll own that.
Yeah, yeah. As one of our top fans and friends, I was working on your intro, so I just randomly have that picture, and I was like, we're just gonna start giving. I'm gonna share this picture. Now we use it all the time. But what we're gonna do is we're gonna have a let me pop that. I messed everything up because I did that. We're gonna have a showdown between me and Patrick, and we're both gonna create, because WrestleMania happened last night and then or last weekend. Me and Patrick are gonna do reveal our factions. We're gonna reveal our heavyweight champion, our tag teams, and that random guy. And we'll do them 1v1. First, we'll start with the faction name. Or no, should we do the faction name last or first, Patrick? What do you think?
We could do the faction name last, but what I want to ask is, are we completely making these up, or are we making like a fantasy dream team?
No, we're totally making these bad boys up.
Okay. All right.
Let's hurry up and get through this, because I want to talk comics.
I like the way you think.
I can't talk wrestling. I don't know anything about wrestling, Patrick.
It's fine.
We actually have a comic about wrestling.
There you go.
Both of you guys super happy.
It's not Ric Flair's, is it? I saw he's got some comics that came out.
There's a ton of publishers that do wrestling comics.
Yeah. If it was Ric Flair's, yeah. Anyways, yes, sorry, Jaime, we got to do some funny bits here to make the show a funny show, not just a comic show. So I'll start with my random dude. His name is Upchuck, and he is a young kid that pukes everywhere he goes. But the thing about it is he only pukes up Oreos.
Like legit Oreos, dry, ready to eat Oreos?
Yep.
Sanitized?
He pukes out whole Oreos, so you can enjoy them after he pukes them up. Right. So then he pukes them out and then throws them into the audience.
Okay.
I love that.
And his name's Upchuck Oreo. What up?
Upchuck Oreo. Upchuck what up?
Oreo. What up?
Yep. Okay. That's his name. He has really cool intro.
I bought a package of double stuffed Oreos for the first time in like 2 years, I think.
Uh huh.
So I opened those bad boys up and I started crying because I was like, these aren't double stuffed. They took some stuff out of these.
So I went to the
grocery store this weekend, and I saw that there was a fun stuff Oreo with one F. And I was like, they took it out of the double stuff and put it in this thing, because these things were just a tiny bit thicker than the double stuff. Anyway, I just want to let you know that.
Heads up. Hey, what's up, Kyle? Olaf Slayer. Yes, it is Jaws 2.0, but I tried to add new things, so it wasn't the same. Yeah, good. I realized that once I said his name, I'm like, oh no, I just made up, I just copied somebody else. All right, Patrick, who's your up and comer?
So my up and comer, my Barry Windham of sorts, he's the hyena. So listen, this is the thing. We've heard every single wrestling promo ad nauseum. I've watched professional wrestling. I'm 39. I've watched pro wrestling for 38 years, probably. I've heard every single wrestling promo. You know something, brother? You know, the cream, yeah. I've heard all of them 1,000 times. So the hyena only communicates through laughing. That's all he does. You ask him a question, and he just laughs uncontrollably like a hyena.
That's nice.
And he wears a hyena, like Speedo, and has a tail. He's a hyena. Yeah.
All right. So you get to score each. One of us get a point. Who gets this point for this best character here, Jaime?
Okay. I am going to go with the hyena.
Nice. Okay, that's fair.
I mean, why not? If you're the guest, you've got to win the show. You can't let the host win. And I'm just gonna be.
I
real.
Like Upchuck though. I will say.
There's something about Upchuck in the name. Is just kind of like, yeah. I'll go with the cheetah guy kind of thing.
That's fair. That's fair. All right. Well, I was hoping that since Trey wasn't here, I had a chance to win, but obviously I don't.
Nah.
Great. I mean, we
had to hit it right out the park.
Okay? All right. Would you like to go first for the tag team? Since I went first with the Absolutely.
So the thing is, like, when you have a faction, usually your tag team picks on like the up and comer. So I would have to create a tag team that would pick on Upchuck. So if Upchuck is going to throw Oreos up on people, and I've already got a hyena in my faction, I think I'm going to go with the Dirty Apes as my tag team. And what they would do is they would come to the ring and throw feces at Upchuck. So that's what they would do. And in between the match, like, instead of tagging each other in, they would pick the flies off of each other's hair and throw feces at each other when they weren't throwing feces at somebody else. That's what they would do. The Dirty Apes.
Appropriately named. That's very good. And so in that thing, mine's going to be the Zookeepers. and they just happen to work in the zoo where the Dirty Apes are from. And they're always trying to catch them. And so what you'll see, the Dirty Apes are running around and the Zookeepers are always trying to get them. Now they're obviously not very good zookeepers because they never catch them.
They look like Kevin James and Adam Sandler.
Exactly, and they have really big nets, and their special move is what they do is they hit them with the net, and the dude jumps on the top thing and hits them in the face, and then they're netted. And so that's how they catch all of their prey. But the Zookeepers, that's my tag team. Bob and Bip.
I'm going to go with the Dirty Apes.
Dang it!
Even though you have a good chance of catching them, I have a feeling you're not going to catch them on the first try, and you're going to take a couple of hits before you do, and that's just done. Like, no one wants to be around you after that.
Sorry. here's some responses from Olaf Slayer.
Olaf enjoys that, yeah.
Yeah, and then he says this.
I wouldn't say that. Olaf Slayer, you don't know. The game's not over. Jason can come out with some great, great, great something. Yeah. You know?
I've 2 out of 3, right?
Yeah. Well, we have the faction name, too. So the faction name, if you can put them together, then it could win. All right, so now it's my turn. It's the champion, the main, the guy that brought the Zookeeper and Upchuck Oreo together. I don't know anything. Giant pasta. Nope, don't like it. His name is, let me think theme wise. Give me a second. Theming wise.
A few seconds.
Zookeeper Oreos. Mr. Gibbs. Mr. Gibbs is a 6'5", 300-pound marketer, and what he is.
A marketer.
And so what he's trying to do is he's hired these people to work for different companies so he can make promotions. And so all the people he hires are people for his brands. So, you know, the Upchuck actually works for Oreos and they get their full Oreo stipend. From this, and the marketer, he works with the national, with the U.S. zoos to actually inspire people to go to the zoos. And so this man, he only hires people and works with people that help him make more money. And so, yes, his name is the marketer, and he's a 300-pound, 6'4", wrestler. And his main move is, place name on billboard here, where he changes the name every single week to whatever his new promotion that he's working on. So say he's working for Pepsi, it's called the Pepsi Attack. If he's working with Pepto-Bismol, it's the Pink Attack. You know, it's things like that. So there you go. There's my champion.
You know, when you walk into a place and the people are trying to get you to listen to their spill on why you should go buy a mark. What are those things called, Patrick, where they want you to buy a home, vacation, timeshare? You know, when you hear the spill that the timeshare people do, I feel like I just experienced that. It was really cringe.
All right, Patrick, your turn.
So my whole thing is, like, in order to lead this faction, you'd have to be incredibly strong. We're talking about a hyena. We're talking about two dirty apes, and you need someone that's incredibly strong. And when I think of someone that's been through a lot, that's incredibly strong and has proven themselves a winner, I think of Brendan Fraser as the whale.
Oh.
I think just a 6'7", 700-pound man would be able to handle a pair of dirty apes and a hyena with ease. And the whale. Brendan Fraser would just be able to captivate people on the mic, and
wow,
he captivates me. You had me at Brendan. You had me at Brendan, Patrick. I'm sorry, Scout. I think Patrick wins.
Yeah, wait, still have the faction name. We got one last chance.
Oh, and, okay. I'm sorry. My apologies.
Patrick, what is your faction's name?
The Jungle Book.
You know why that works so well? Not only because of his animal choices, but because Brendan Fraser also played George in the Jungle.
Yep.
That was just the perfect name. Oh my gosh. I hope you have something against, you can do something against Patrick, because that's gonna be hard, Jason.
They're called the Panda Snacks. That's all I have. It's in the comments. I just went with the comments.
That's great. I think that's a good.
I was hoping that someone would happen there, but it didn't happen. No, the name of our faction is called. I'll buy that for a dollar.
Jungle Book was really good choice.
Yeah, he won.
Patrick, very good. Very good.
Thank you. I tried.
You're welcome.
Hi, Abby, by the way.
Runner up. You will get the runner up.
I got destroyed, bro. I'm the runner up because I'm the other person. And here you go, Patrick. There's your Jaime NFT.
I'm going to frame it.
Thank you.
Oh, appreciate at some it. Point, there it is.
Maybe you can make it into a card also.
Absolutely.
And
I can
then
do that.
The sure. QR code on the back of it will come back to this show, to this episode. Love it. The segment that we just did.
That makes sense. Hell yeah.
That's so silly. Awesome. But thank you so much, Patrick, for being silly with me there.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely. And when Jaime, you're supposed to ask me, why is Patrick here today?
Scout, tell me, why is Patrick here today?
Well, when I sent Patrick a message asking him to be on the show, I said, what can we do for a better year, Patrick? And he sent me the most random response, which was, read a book once a week. Patrick, why do we need to read a book? No. Don't you agree with him? Just because you gave him the quiz, Jaime, doesn't mean
he fought really hard and won fair and square.
You know, I'm done with this. I'm done with this game. I'm done with this life.
He won. Stop saying stuff like that.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah.
Make sure you get yourself some Saw Paul water available in all stores. Make sure
you get some Saw Paul water. Oh, yeah. Flow Stream podcast, bitch. Oh, yeah.
But so why, Patrick, do we need to read a book once a week?
So I'm a college professor. I've been a college professor for 17 years.
Get out of here.
Yes, sir.
There's a reason why I like this cat.
I've read a book a week for probably 20 years. Okay. 20, maybe 25.
Are we talking about a full-on book beginning to end, or like small books, ash cans, for example, or something?
No, I probably read like a full work of fiction a week. I probably read like 5 or 6 comics a week too on top of it. So I probably listen to like 4 or 5 like full podcasts a week.
You're the kind of individual that I'd like to be around, to be honest to you.
Thank you.
Someone who consumes things for the mind and not just it, and this is just my initial thought, not just consumes thing because you got 60 seconds to kill times, you know, 50-11. Yeah. So
you have to. I mean, it's like, I remember I was an editor at NBC and
did you hear that, Abby? He was an editor at NBC.
for two and a half years. Covered 3 Super Bowls, 3 seasons of Saturday Night Live, the Obama Romney election, the Trayvon Martin murder case. And I remember everyone was reading 50 Shades of Grey, and I was like, gotta read it because everyone's reading. All my friends are like, you're reading 50 Shades of Grey? And then I went to my wife, who was my fiance at the time, like, you gotta read this. This is pretty wild stuff, you know. So it's like, even when Twilight came out, everyone was like watching Twilight. And as a reporter, as an entertainment writer and stuff, I'm like, gotta watch it, gotta read the books that are based on the movie, gotta do that. So it just, that's been like a big part of my life, just trying to educate myself as much as possible.
And I give you mad respect for that, because I do think it's one thing to consume the media that's prevalent at the moment, but when it's prevalent and then you can compare it to original source material, because there's a lot of stuff from the source material that doesn't get transmitted across, right? And so it's good when you can do that. I can have respect for a movie or not have respect for a movie, but maybe have respect or not for the original source, right? And so
absolutely.
I think you become a more rounded being when you can kind of take everything in, right? So do you find, let me ask this, because you bring up an interesting point of view that I've been thinking of a lot lately. And I've evolved my thoughts with this, so just curious on your perspective, right? So I look at the world of comics, for example, and I look at the world of comic book movies. And there was a time where I was a staunch supporter of hardcore, stick to the original source material, to where nowadays I'm more of the, man, there's enough room for all of us to be entertained. Let's just entertain. And if you happen to throw stuff in there from where I appreciate the original material, man, I'm gonna be over the moon about it. But if it can proliferate the generations to come, and the kids today can get into the cross mediums or both mediums, even, why not? But where did you fall on that?
I feel the same exact way. Like, a perfect example of that is The Walking Dead. If The Walking Dead TV show was exactly like the comics, I'd have no reason to ever digest the TV show. And I think the TV show is a wonderful, you know, episodic TV series. I mean, it's been on forever now. It's been on, you know, for 10 years.
It's had multiple spin-offs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I can still have conversations with people that have never read the comics and been like, yeah, you experienced that in the TV show, but did you know Shane died like after like issue 6 or whatever? And they're like, really? Blah, blah, blah. And it gets to my whole thing is, I want to continue the conversation. So I don't want people to be like, oh, the comic sucks or the movie sucks. And I'm just like, well, you know why you may not like the movie? Because in the comic, they did this. Like, I want to continue the conversation, you know?
Yes.
So The Walking Dead is a perfect example of that. Like that. And then even like, you know, what they do with a lot of the Marvel movies. Like, if you watch Thor, a lot of people are like, you know, oh, the first 2 Thor movies are really slow. And then they went like on the comedic route. And I'm like, well, they changed directors. And then, you know, the first 2 films are really based on like the Walt Simonson writing and art, and then it kind of like digresses and it becomes like fresher and blah blah blah. And so I like to have those conversations with people. Like, one of my big things I tell my students is, you have to know who influenced the influencer, you know, like who influenced the main source.
Very good point.
So yeah, I'm of the same mindset as you. Absolutely.
Nice.
That's amazing. And one thing that I'm on purpose going to talk about Legacy Comics last, because Trey, if it's up to Jaime, he's going to talk the whole time and we won't get to any other thing. So, but we will talk about books in that, you just released, Behind the Minds of the PlayStation games, PlayStation 2 games, here in, January, 2023. What number book in this series is this?
So it's book number 7 of the series, the Minds Behind the Games series. So what I do there is I search out and connect with video game developers, and I have them tell me the behind the scenes stories of the games they created. And so we're talking like Aladdin on the Sega Genesis, we're talking Lion King on Super Nintendo, we're talking old Max Payne, Grand Theft Auto, Red Dead Redemption, like every
Onimusha any, is Onimusha in there?
Onimusha is not, but okay. That one day, that would be awesome. And that's the thing. That's one of the reasons why I'm doing. That's why I've done 7 books in the past 5 years, because there's like no shortage of great games to talk about. But the way it works is, we find out about how the game was developed, some of the problems that they've had, you know, creating the games. But also the developers. Some of these developers have gotten divorced during development. Some of them have slept in their cars to make their games. Like all sorts of crazy stories, like really fun behind the scenes stories that will make you love your favorite games that much more, but will also give you a greater sense of appreciation for games that you may not have liked. So like, I'll give you a quick example. In my first book, I interviewed the team that made Night Trap on the Sega CD, and so many
people
call that like one of the worst games of all time. But when you find out all of the things that went into that game, if you don't have a greater appreciation for everything that that team went through, then you're crazy. So that's kind of like, that was like one really big journey that I went on. Like after like 12 years in journalism, I was just like, I need to write a book. And then that first book then turned into a 3-book deal. And then that 3-book deal turned into another 3-book deal. So now the Minds Behind the Games are in over 2,000 libraries worldwide, Harvard, Yale, Stanford, UCLA, Berkeley, like all over the place. It's been so much fun interviewing all of these developers. I'm totally like impartial to the Sega Genesis and PlayStation books. Those I feel like are my 2 favorite books that I've written. But the PS2 one that just came out is a banger too. It's got 36 games featured in it, over 60 interviews. So lots of great stuff in there.
Tell me, out of the recent book, who was the story that you were most, oh my gosh, about?
It was either the original Call of Duty on PS2 or Shadow of Colossus on the PlayStation 2. Both of those stories were just amazing. Like a lot of people don't know that the original Call of Duty was made by the team that made like the first 2 Medal of Honor games. So they left EA and they went and made Call of Duty. And EA actually tried to sue them and say that they used assets from Medal of Honor when they actually
EA
didn't. Yeah, Electronic Arts, yeah. And they left an extremely successful Medal of Honor series and created Call of Duty from scratch. And
which, remember, for those of you at home, Medal of Honor, that was a PC game that we used to play back in the day. And it was pretty good. It was,
yeah. Oh, yeah. You know. And then Medal of Honor Underground and Medal of Honor Frontline were 2 classics on the PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2. So they had every reason to stay with EA, and they decided that they were going to jump ship and do their own thing. And it totally worked out in their benefit. But but they had so many obstacles along the way. Then one of the other Shadow of Colossus is like arguably like one of the greatest games on PlayStation 2. And
agreed.
Their American producer was basically like the only American on the team, and he totally had the trust of this Japanese team. And we're talking sleeping on the floor, like long nights and traveling back and forth. Like he told a story that like the Sony his Sony bosses were just like, oh, you need to be on a plane like in like 3 hours. And he like hopped on like his motorcycle with just like a bag around his shoulder and was going like 90 miles an hour to get to the airport on time. Like crazy stories like that. So I love Shadow of Colossus, but to hear how much tender love and care went into that game behind the scenes. Oh, man. Crazy stuff.
I'm glad you say that, because when you played that game the very first time, it was awe inducing, right? It was amazing. It was a complete story with no words whatsoever. 0.5% were right.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
But the rest, and you are totally picking up on everything that's going on. And it,
and one,
you
know, one of the big things in there is that he understood that from the beginning. And the thing is, he knew that like this was such a Japanese concept, uh-huh. like a game. Think of it this way: a game with open world, barely any dialogue, and just boss battles. Like, yeah, it's a very Japanese concept. It wasn't it wasn't an American game by any stretch of the imagination.
Everyone loves to give credit to Elden Ring and what's the other one? I can't remember the first one.
Dark Souls.
Thank you. Dark Souls. And you're like, guys, did y'all remember Shadow of the Colossus?
Yeah.
Like, that game was insane. It was so
If it's not fun. For this guy, this game does not come out in the United States. This guy did every single thing in his power to make sure that this game came out in the United States. So just to hear, like, his behind the scenes story of mm-hmm. like everything that he was willing to do to get this game to come out in the United States,
which is really a rare feat, like, right? Because there are lots of games that come out in Japan that are or anywhere else that are, you know, popular there, and we don't see the light of day, and we have to get special tools and software mm-hmm. to emulate those games over here.
Yep.
But we'll never see them on a large, you know, large market release like we saw with Shadow, and so. You know, for one guy like this to hear what you're saying, and he was able to get it pulled to come out over here, and it was a massive success, right? It released a redo and a HD version that they still make, you know, and it's just fantastic game.
There was game. I interviewed also like the producer of the original SOCOM, and for me that was just like, because I used to run home at like midnight with like five or six friends, we would all link up and we would play SOCOM, and we would play all night. And just to talk to this guy about how they got the PlayStation 2 to run online before, like, pretty much any other game was just so much fun to find out that story.
And the PlayStation 2 is one of the first consoles to tout having online play ability, right? Remember they released the hard drive. Mm-hmm. What was it? I think it was Resident Evil.
The network adapter, like, the hard drive. City Resident Evil Outbreak. Outbreak. Mm-hmm. Yep, I have
that
game. That
was
still
the first one that was supposed to play. I never got any luck with it. I must have been doing something wrong, though. But
there was never anyone online playing that game.
I think that's what it was. Probably then.
It's one of those walk around empty levels.
So bad. I wanted to love it, and I couldn't because it just wasn't as fun. And the loading time between doors was so extraneous, right?
Yep.
I still have PTSD from that game because I'm like, it's one of those where I just wanted to play it so much. And you know what was frustrating about that? So, you know, I joked earlier about Onimusha, right? But when they had Onimusha that came out for the PS2, and then you'd see Raccoon or Outbreak, and you're like, how? Like, the Onimusha, like, the, what was it, 3 or 4, right? It was this beautiful FMV-filled sequence of it. I mean, I'm specifically talking about that because everyone knows Final Fantasy, and I want to talk about one of the games that is not well-known, but was beautifully, masterfully created and crafted, like like that Final Onimusha. And then you'd have Resident Evil, and you were just like, why is this is a disconnect here. This shouldn't be like this.
That's what my, at its core, that's what my books are about. It's just like, just explaining, like, if you've ever wondered why a game plays like this, or like, why, how come the, like, in my Genesis book, one of the questions was like for the game Shakan, where it was just like, the first two parts of the game are great, and the third part, it just feels like a different game. Why is that? And the developer's like, well, my brother died and somebody else finished the game for me.
Oh my God.
And I'm just like, oh my God. There you go. That explains it. You know, or why Lion King on Genesis and Super Nintendo was super hard in some spots and so easy in others. And the market testing said that the game had to be hard enough in certain spots, so this way it would be like the perfect game to rent. So people would have to rent it 2 or 3 times, you know, and people couldn't beat it in one day. So they made certain parts extremely hard and the rest of it super easy.
That makes so much sense now when I think of Battletoads and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the Nintendo.
Yep.
No.
Mm-hmm. Now, so that's why they did stuff like that on purpose, you know?
Yeah. You know who was in charge of that? The marketer.
It's true.
That's like I'm going to give you that one. If you had brought that one up during the wrestling match, you might have won.
You're good. So if you're geeky like that, you'll love the Minds Behind the Games.
I've never heard of this book before, Patrick, but I put the link to the book in the comments for everyone.
If you go to patrickhickeyjr.com, All the books come up. You can order directly through me, and I will sign your book. I usually put goodies in there, like baseball cards and all sorts of cool stuff in there. So PatrickHickeyJr.com. It comes right up. You can buy all the books right there. You can definitely buy from McFarlane. That's fine. That's my publisher. But if you buy directly from me, you put a little bit more money in my pocket, and I sign the book for you.
Okay, so I would totally love to do that. I did check the link out before I chose the McFarlane link. There seems to be something odd going on.
I'm
going to
check it out. Let's see.
Yeah. So if we can figure that out real quick, maybe I did something, but I clicked on the link. I've done it twice now. And
oh, you know what? Because they're doing what's it called? Site maintenance. I just looked on it. Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. So we could talk. We could talk after. I'll figure it out for you.
I'll put it in the actual. I'll put it in the actual show notes. Okay. So when the people listen to the podcast, they can go to it.
So I would rather much have another link sign my book and get the goodies. From you rather than going to the McFarlane or anywhere else.
I just sent you another link in the studio chat. You can click on that one. That'll come up. So yeah, man. Get it posted.
You got a tray? Oh, you got a tray. Sorry, I mean it's automatic tray. I apologize. Well, let's keep going, or we're not going to get to talk comic books. So now, as a wrestling guy and a video game guy, I do love this. Is PAX East one of the coolest conferences you've got to go to? I imagine you've gone to a bunch of them in the years. But
yeah, I've gone to a bunch. Absolutely. PAX East is just super cool, though, because PAX East is like kind of where last year they were the new Ninja Turtles game that everyone was playing last year. That's where it kind of like debuted big time.
Which Ninja Turtles?
It was like Shredder's Revenge.
Shredder's Revenge. Dude, I still want to play that. That's on my list.
Mm-hmm. So this year they had Toxic Crusaders was there, and that's going to be like the next big beat 'em up. So much fun. But man, WrestleQuest, just being able to be a part of that team. For people that don't know, WrestleQuest is basically an over 50-hour Japanese RPG with a wrestling component. So if you like games like Paper Mario, if you like Pokemon, if you like Dragon Warrior, it's basically like a pro wrestling-inspired story with turn-based battling, and it features over 30 licensed pro wrestlers from Jake the Snake Roberts, Diamond Dallas Page, the Macho Man Randy Savage, Ted DiBiase. There's a ton of great wrestlers in the game. And then there's a ton of NPC and made-up characters. It takes place in like this really 80s-inspired pop culture toy box world, and it's a lot of fun. So just to be a part of all of that, I've been on the team for about 2.5 years as a voice actor, so it's been a lot of fun.
How did you first get that gig?
So what ended up happening was after the first book, the first Minds Behind the Games book came out, I got asked to do dialogue editing on this indie survival horror game called The Padre, and the team was from Bulgaria, so their grammar was really off. So I was editing the grammar of the game.
Nice.
Plus, like I told you guys, I'm a college professor. I've been a journalism and English teacher for 17 years. So and I'm this video game historian. So it just worked out perfect. So what ended up happening, like 2 weeks before the game was going to go to Kickstarter, the lead voice actor left. So the developers, imagine like the Count from Sesame Street, you know, they're like, oh, we're fucked. Oh, we're fucked. Like, so I'm just like, nah, we're really,
it's great that you can curse in a language that it doesn't really count as cursing right now. So thanks for that.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah. No, you're fine. It was very entertaining.
So I was like, I can do the voice. And they're like, what are you talking about? So, the Padre is kind of like an homage to Alone in the Dark. It's basically like this survival horror where you play a priest that is stuck inside this mansion that's engrossed with zombies, and you're trying to find out who kidnapped like one of your mentors and stuff. But the lead voice actor sounded like Russell Brand. It didn't make any sense. He was just like, you know, like Jamie, you know, I'm just like running through the house, you know, like, wow. And it's supposed to be a scary game. And it's like, I edited every line of dialogue and I'm like, this voice, it made me cringe. Like it did not fit the game. So I've always been good at that movie voice. Like,
in a world, one man, one tortilla, rated PG-13.
Nice.
So I can't do that because that would be ridiculous. Imagine the entire game.
Like, yeah, that'd be weird.
It would be awful. So I'm just like, what if I combine the English with that?
So a boy came across this dark voice. My name is Alexander and I am the Padre.
And they were like, oh my God, that's great.
That was pretty awesome, man.
Thank you. So what ended up happening was we didn't get funded on Kickstarter, but we ended up getting picked up by a publisher instead, which ended up working out 1,000 times better. Wow. And the Padre is on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5. It's on Nintendo Switch. It's on Xbox One. And then we did a sequel, the Padre One Shell Straight to Hell, and that came out just on Steam. And then people started contacting me to do trailers for their game. So I probably did like a dozen or so, maybe a couple more trailers for games. And then as a journalist, I've interviewed tons of video game developers over the past 17 years. So then Megacat reached out to me and they were like, and I've interviewed them several times. They're in a few of my books. And they're like, you do voiceover now? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, can you do a good Macho Man? And I'm like,
oh, yeah, let me tell you something, Jason, the cream. Yeah, always, yeah. Can you dig it?
And they were like, oh my God. Okay. So it started off WrestleQuest, one of the main characters, his name is Randy Muchacho Man Santos. And he is a protege of the Macho Man Randy Savage. And the Macho Man Randy Savage is licensed in the game.
Oh, but his that's nice.
Yeah, the real Macho Man, his likeness is in the game, but you have his protege that like wants to be him is in the game. So I voice both of them. And it started off as me just being Macho Man and then like the NPCs. And then it was just like, oh, well, do you want to do Coco Beware? Do you want to do Junkyard Dog? Do you want to do this guy? Do you want to do that guy? And I'm just like, yeah, man, sure. And then just kept racking up. And it's just like anywhere. It could be at the end of this, by the time May comes out, it could be anywhere from like 50 to 90 voices. Like I voice Luna Vachon in the game, you know? So it's just like I work super hard on that game. The team is great. The writing in the game is awesome. Zach Manko, the writer of WrestleQuest, absolutely crushed it. Like, if you like Pokemon, if you like Paper Mario, if you like Chrono Trigger, if you like Earthbound, and you like these really immersive, like 50, 60 hour RPGs, it's got that type of story. But it's about wrestling. It's so much fun. So that's how I got into voice acting, and that's how I got on WrestleQuest.
That's awesome.
You're like, yeah, any other voice you got, just throw it over here. I'll be happy to do it.
Like, everyone. And for a game developer, like to explain to people, it's way easier just to pay the same guy than trying to pay lots of people. And so it makes sense that they would go to one dude as many times as they can, because then you don't have to worry about it as much. So
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I swear, I'm looking, so I'm not ignoring anything. I'm over here searching stuff that you're saying and just looking at it. I'm looking at the Padre, and I'm like, gosh, this looks oddly familiar to a game that my kid and my niece play downstairs in, or upstairs in the main floor. And I'm like, now I feel like I need to go ask them. It's so similar. I didn't see a lot of gameplay, but I'm like, man, the hallways in the mansion look like the hallways of the hotel that the girls play in. And the little spiders that come out and the things, and they got to hide in the shelves. Anyway, it looks like a game that they would play, totally. A game that I would.
It definitely
like to
has Minecraft vibes. It definitely has like Roblox vibes.
Yeah.
But yeah, the voice acting, I'm really proud of the voice acting that I did in that game.
Yeah, you should be, man. That's awesome. So, yeah. Man, you know, you hear about, I have a buddy, for example, who has talked for years now on wanting to get into voice acting, right? And it seems like anytime I give him input on how to get into it, you know, and I don't know how to get into it, but I know people such as
I love who you're talking about, that he just, you're taking his place today. It just makes me laugh.
No one has to know that.
I know it, and that's why it makes me laugh.
So, Patrick, you know, I've said
he's gonna be so mad that he's not here. You know, I'm gonna have to listen to him complain about. He is. He's gonna be mad.
No, I don't think so. I tell him, you know, some of the things to do, and then every time I hear the stories of you guys who get into the, who break into voice acting, I'm like, that could totally be you. There's no reason why it can't be you. You just gotta, you just gotta put yourself out there. And
I love it when people say to me like, "Oh, you're so lucky," and I don't prescribe to that. It's about positioning. Yeah. You know, if I wasn't on that team editing, then I wouldn't have been there. So it's all positioning. Like if you want to be around video games, then you're around game.
Put yourself in video games. You put yourself in the areas where you want to. And I agree with that. But it's like in anything, right? Like you hear that kind of frame mentality put everywhere. If you want to be a millionaire, you got to hang out with the millionaires, right? You don't listen to the haters, right? So I think you just kind of you've put in that spot if it's whether it's the millionaires or whatever, you know, if you want to be around artists, if you want to be an artist, put yourself around artists, put your work to be critiqued by artists, to be critiqued by voice actors, to be critiqued by writers. You don't want a cook to critique your voice acting, for example, right? Yep. I mean, you can have it, but you know what I mean? Like, if you want to start developing, you get that serious feedback going. And it's not to say that others can't give you feedback, but people in the field will give you that constructive piece, right? And so you get better with that. And then when you start reading books about it, when you start practicing, when you start looking at people who are doing that, when you just immerse yourself in those environments, it definitely fulfills you more, I believe. So while I think luck has just a little bit to do with it, it's got its place. It by no means means you take that little bit of luck and replace it with the hard work that you should be putting towards what it is you want to do, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Patrick, we normally go for about an hour. Are you cool if we go a little longer than that?
Sure. Sure.
Just checking with you. Didn't want to. Yeah, up to Jaime, we're going to be a 7-hour show, but it won't be that long.
No problem.
I do have a 6:30. So like you, Patrick, I actually got into teaching recently. So I have a 6:30 class that I need to teach tonight. So,
But now, Jaime, you get to actually ask questions. So,
awesome. So then I saw
We're going to talk about, you have to ask about legacy comments. We're going to start.
So I am. Okay.
Yes. Good. So but you can move from there on.
I saw Condry and it looks intriguing to me. I love the art that, help me out.
Kieran. Yeah. KX Quinn. Kieran. Okay. Kieran Quinn.
I love the art that, KX Quinn is doing on there. It's definitely got that, like Sin City vibe going for it. Right. A little bit of Eastman in there too. I dig that. I see just the little blip on there, the blurb on the comic. So you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So Condry is about a homeless vigilante that lives in Brooklyn, New York, that is trying to find out who killed his father. So it's very tropey. Like any comic book fan will immediately be like, oh, this looks like Sin City. This is very like hard-boiled noir. But there's so much more to this character and his backstory and his power set and all of these things. So it's just like, if you like comics like Punisher, if you like Wolverine, if you like Spawn, but if you like films like Highlander, then you'll definitely like Condry.
Shut so he is the not- front door, Patrick. Man, you're just dropping all the buzz, and I'm like, dang it, I'm gonna have to get this now. And
he's not you. I just dropped a shop thing in for you. So we actually, because I love to sell, I'm a seller. We actually have a thing on the site right now where we have you can get Condry Zero with a holographic cover. I'm not sure if you can see the shine on it right now.
Are you serious?
You get the holographic cover, and then you get digital Condry Zero 1, 2, and 3 for $15. So you get the first 4 issues of the series, like which is a nice like first snack, you know, into the series, and you find out all about Condry, all about his backstory and stuff like that. So again, if you like hard-boiled noir, if you like early, like Brian Michael Bendis, like on Sam and Twitch, if you like early Spawn, if you like the really like Ronin, like Frank Miller, Chris Claremont stuff.
I had a chance to meet Chris Claremont last year.
I actually interviewed him about 15 years ago. So,
seriously?
Super amazing guy. I've interviewed a ton of comic book creators. Steve Niles, Dave Gibbons, Joe Quesada, Jeff Loeb. So yeah, man. So this is my love letter to comics. So this is like the 80s, 90s vigilante that we all know and love, but in modern times. So I'm 39. I wrote this when I was 18. But then what ended up happening was I transitioned into journalism and I became an editor at NBC and I covered the NHL for 10 years and taught. And then started writing the Minds Behind the Games books, and then it's like you never wrote the comic. So then we went I started working for this company called Lesser Known Comics, and we published like 3 or 4 issues, and I had all these ideas for other series, which I can get into in a couple of seconds, but they just wanted me to do Condry. They were like, oh, Condry's killing it, like just work on Condry. And I had these ideas that, like, because one of my heroes is Brian Michael Bendis, Jeff Johns, these are guys that wrote like 3 or 4 series at the same time. Yes. And I'm like, I could do that if given an opportunity. So the opportunity wasn't given to me at Lesser Known Comics, so I went and filed an LLC for Legacy Comics. And then in November of 2021, we went to Kickstarter. We were funded in about 5.5 hours. We ended up 301% funded, and we've been off to the races. So in addition to Condry, we also have a comic, which I think my wrestling friend may love. It's called The Job. Okay. And it's about a pro wrestler named Dan Dero that loses every single match. He's a jobber.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Okay. But he's got a hot wife. And he's got a hot, and his wife is his valet. She comes to the ring with him. Sure. She wears scantily clad clothing, and she looks like a cross between Marissa Tomei and Kat Dennings from Two Broke Girls. So she's gorgeous. Nice. They lose every match. And his day job is he's the super of a building in Brooklyn. So they live very frugally, but they have a great car. And everyone's like, Dan, you have a hot wife and a hot car. How did that happen? And he goes, it's easy. I rob banks. And he really does. And he wears a different lucha mask every time he robs a bank. And his wife is his getaway driver. So they are a tag team in wrestling, and they are a tag team in robbing banks. So if you like films like Point Break, Dog Day Afternoon, French Connection, like those old 70s action romps with great car chases and great bank robberies and stuff, and then you love like Mickey Rourke's The Wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, and you love good 90s stuff. Like ECW and the Attitude Era, you will love this comic. So that's
what
that.
Made you choose
also,
for him to have a lucha mask for
because I love lucha. I remember when I was on my honeymoon, we had like this we had this tour, and because we stayed at a resort in Mexico, and they gave us like this like little excursion, like where you can go into the town and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I was immediately waiting to go into like one of these stores and buy as many lucha masks as I possibly could. And I bought like La Parca, Psicosis, Rey Mysterio, mm-hmm. Blue Demon, and I bought all of these masks just because like I love lucha, you know.
Yeah.
And I just thought it would be really cool, like especially when you think of like Point Break, where they wear like the different presidents' masks.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just like what if a wrestler was actually robbing banks with like different lucha masks on? You know, like it would be so much fun. And so that's how it kind of came to be. So that's another one of our series. Another series that I'm super proud of is called Brooklyn Bleeds. I'll show you guys the cover of that one. And here we go. That's Brooklyn Bleeds. So I'll zoom in a little bit.
Yeah.
So this is the thing. When you think of a zombie book, you think of people, because zombie books are about people and how people respond to zombie apocalypses.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, zombie books are rarely about the zombies. It's about how people respond. So what if I told you that the main character of Brooklyn Bleeds is not a human being? It's actually a dog.
What?
So a dog, it's about a dog that is locked inside of his home with his owner, who is going through the change of becoming a zombie. And the entire book is narrated by the dog, like, Harry, smell funny. What is happening to Harry? You know, and it's just like, it's very old school. It's in black and white with like a yellow tattered paper filter to it. So it looks like the paper has been burned. That's what it looks like. It looks like a comic that's not supposed to exist. And it's totally told through the dog's point of view. Cause that's the thing. When you think of a zombie apocalypse, you never think of like, what the hell is going on with the dogs and the cats and the zoo animals, you know? So we have another issue. This one, Hasty Bing, the one that I just showed you. And if you look really close, you can see the panther on the cover. He is the last living animal in Prospect Park Zoo in Brooklyn. He has watched every single other animal be eaten by zombies. And he knows he's about to die. And he has to find a way to try and escape. And that's the whole issue of, like, what is this panther going to do when the zombies finally get inside the cage? And you eventually find out. It's a lot of fun. But I just tried to tackle a zombie book from a different point of view than just people being affected by zombies. I think animals is just so much more interesting.
You know, it's funny. When Walking Dead was coming out on the store, I always assumed that it was just a comic book about zombies. I always assumed that the main character was dead and it was a zombie book. I never opened it and looked at it. I was always looking at whatever fun thing I was looking at the time. But I remember seeing it going, oh, this must just be about zombies chilling, and it never was, and I didn't know that until the movies came out, until the TV show came out, and I was like, oh, that makes sense. But in my head, I always thought, oh, the zombie part's the coolest part. Is that one of my favorite books is I Am Legend, Yeah, it's one of my favorites too. Not the terrible movies or the remakes of the movies or the remakes of Omega Man. No, the book.
I love Omega Man though for all the wrong reasons though. It's such a great movie. That's good.
But I so to this day still want to do my own version of that book as a movie, but do it like M. Night Shyamalan style. So it's just like a dude where you're just watching this dude murder people. And you're just oh no. And it's just from the vampire's point of view that this guy's just murdering her, but they don't know until you find out that it's all vampires and he's the last human on Earth. And so, I always love that idea.
Two things. Patrick, when you originally started talking about Bloody Brooklyn, did I say it right? Bloody Brooklyn?
Brooklyn Bleeds.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Brooklyn Bleeds. When you started mentioning that, I thought you were going to go the route of, I think it was called Warm Bodies, right? The zombie one where the virus, and then they come back to life. They remember and stuff and all that. Anyway, I thought that was the direction you're going with. So I love that it's a animal, the perspective from the animal, because that is very cool. And then...
So is each episode, each comic, a different animal?
So far, we just finished the second issue. The third is coming out. Actually, to give away a little bit and make it a little bit, give you guys like a little bit of an exclusive, pretty much the only people that are finding their way like to survive in the zombie apocalypse are people that like are thinking on a super instinctual basis. People that don't necessarily show fear the same way that a normal person shows fear. And like, so the main human the main character that is human in this is actually a young autistic boy.
Oh yeah.
And he connects beautifully with these animals. They don't have to speak to one another. They know how each other feels. And they are basically like surviving through the zombie apocalypse just on their base instinctual emotion. So the book is mainly through monologue and thought bubbles. There's not a lot of dialogue, but it's still gripping at the same time. Like the dog and the boy can just look at each other and they know exactly how each other is feeling. And their base needs are they just want to feel appreciated and loved and protected, and they both do that for each other, you know. So the point where we're getting now is that like that the, I don't want to give anything away, but our panther friend is eventually going to cross paths with this dog and this young boy. So what's going to happen when they eventually cross paths, you know? So it's a lot of fun. I already have the next three issues. I have artists signed up for the next three issues, so the story is playing out like as we speak. So
what was your inspiration for using an autistic child in the book?
Just because like as a tutor, I was a tutor before I started teaching, and probably like two of my favorite students that I've ever had were autistic. And I just feel like that they are, extremely, extremely emotional. If you look, you know, like if you really make an effort to get to know someone that's autistic, they are extremely emotional and they are extremely passionate and they are extremely caring. But the average person is just like, you know, if you don't show somebody emotion, then you feel like that there's nothing there. And I feel like some of the most emotional and passionate and caring people I've ever met have been on that spectrum. And I just felt like during a zombie apocalypse, when everyone's like screaming and yelling, they would be the people that would just be like, there's no time for that. Like, we're going to die if we don't just like do what we have to do. Like, they would just be the perfect, like that affliction, that temperament would be ideal if you were in a zombie apocalypse. So,
I'm a staunch defender of The Happening, because people always go, that movie's terrible, has terrible acting. And I'm like, but you don't understand that the terrible acting is on purpose, because these people don't know how to react. The reason they're still alive is because they don't know how to be a normal person. And so that's, if you watch it from that side, you'll enjoy the movie. But if you're just watching it going, Mark Wahlberg's a terrible actor, no, it's on purpose, because he doesn't know how to deal with his emotions. And anybody that doesn't know how to deal with their emotions, that's how they live through that movie. Sorry if I'm ruining it for you. 20 years later, but you know,
you reminded me. The other thing I wanted to say was that there was this anthology horror series. I cannot remember which one it is. Wherever it is, I know I can find it. But the whole show goes from the perspective of this young lady who's trying to survive during the zombie outbreak, right? And she keeps her boyfriend keeps calling her on the phone, and she's like, "I'm trying to get to you," but she can never understand him because he's been overrun by the virus or the zombie stuff. Anyway, you get to the end, and she finds them, and she finds her boyfriend is with her best friend, and they look like they kind of hooked up and stuff. And so she gets angry with them. Well, then they flip the script, and you see it from reality, and you realize she was the zombie through the whole episode, And they weren't just like sleeping together or whatever. They were survivors during the zombie apocalypse, and they see her as the real zombie she is. And then it's cool because you start rewinding the whole episode and being like, oh my gosh, everyone you thought was a zombie to her, they were all real humans, and she was killing them and eating them. And from her perspective as a zombie, it was excellent. It was really excellent. Yeah. It's a little cheesy. You can tell it's got a B grade to it, but honestly, kind of like what you're talking about, it put a different spin. And I've never seen, outside of that Warm Bodies, another medium do something like that. So I was kind of like, okay, that's cool. So what you're saying, Scout, is it already exists. I just need to find it for you and show it to you so you can see that. And it does. It's a nice twist. So
yeah, it's very cool. Like it's an amazing thing. Before I let Jaime ask you zillions of questions, what is it? Now, so one thing if anybody's realized, we've mentioned three projects that are all working concurrently. And then Patrick just mentioned that he's writing all of these comics at the same time. So how are you able to do, 10 projects at the same time and be a professor? How is that possible?
I sleep less than the average person, and I don't make excuses. And I have an amazing wife that's completely understanding. And I have kids that totally, like, my wife jokes around all the time that my kids don't let my wife do anything. But then when I want to write, and you guys have noticed I've been on a podcast the entire time, and they have not come in. They've been in the other room the entire time. They get it. Yeah. So I think, like, if you're going to do creative things, you need a family that, like, completely gets it, and they do. And so I sleep less than the average person. And I have a family that gets it, and I'm not scared to put the work in. So when you put all three of those things together, then it's a recipe for success.
I was on NPR a few days ago, and they were interviewing a poet, and he said what he had to learn with having a family was the willingness to write at any moment, and not just because, like, I'm as a rapper, I need 6 hours of block time for my brain to work a song, or at least it used to. Now it's changed a lot since I have kids, but he was like, no, I have to realize that during a nap or during, Peppa Pig, whatever, I gotta use those moments to write if I want to be productive, because I still want to be present for my family. And
or just wait until they get older and then you can do all those things.
I would say, like, probably the greatest comic that I've ever written is called Sarita. And it's a spin-off off of Condrey, because Condrey has kind of like a sidekick, and it's an elderly African American woman that her husband was the victim of gang violence, and she lost him. And the whole comic is basically her trying to come to grips with the death of her husband and how she has to put the pieces back together. It's not a superhero tale and stuff like that. It's basically like how she eventually meets Condrey, and she helps him, like, on his quest to, like, to clean up the streets. But my son was sleeping, and he was, like, in my arms, and I was holding on to him, and I had my phone on, like, next to me in one hand, and I'm holding him like this, and I started writing, and I wrote the whole comic, like, in an hour and a half. And I sent it to one of my artists, and he was just like, bro, this is like, you're making me cry. This is like, and I'm just like, this may be like the best 24 page story that I've ever written. And that's the thing. Yeah, I remember
she's like Rocky's Mickey is for Condrey. Yeah.
And the thing is, though, too, she has her own unique set of skills, too. She's totally like an ass kicker. She is not to be underestimated in any way, shape, or form. So that's why I said, if you like 80s, like, sci-fi action, like, if you like Highlander, like, where everyone's a little bit more than, like, what they, what they seem to be, you'll love her. She's a great character.
I can't wait to get into it. You hit on something a minute ago that made me think. You're hitting on that nostalgia feeling, right? And for many of us in these squares right now, like, that plucks a chord for us, right? Like, at least for me, it does. That's why I think that the things like Stranger Things and everything else that's related to that have done so well, is because they're talking to me. I hear it when I see those shows. Yep. I don't care if they're kids in them. Like, you're in my time period. I can put myself back into that age. And
so funny, because, like, on the site, I'm constantly like, I am the IT guy for Legacy. I pack all the orders. I'm the toilet scrubber. Like, I am everything. And I'll look at our demo all the time, and it's like 35 to 44 male. And my wife will be like, you know, you need to get more female readers. And I'm like, absolutely, I would love more female readers, but 35 to 44, that's like, that's gold. Who I'm like really writing for, you know. Yeah. I'm writing for all of those people that grew up when Image Comics first came out and they were like, oh yeah, my god, Robbie Liefeld, Jim Lee, Todd McFarlane, Willis Potashio, Jim Valentino, Mark Silvestri, they're all at their own comic book
I'm
company
on this
now.
Crazy kick like, where I gotta grab every homage cover of Amazing Spider-Man 300 no matter who it is. I don't even like Vampirella, but I was like, dang it.
We just did an homage cover for we have another wrestling comic called The Ballad of Gia and Frankie, and it's about a pro wrestler. The story is really unique, so I don't want to give any of it really like away, but this wrestler has a really interesting, crazy backstory. So and it's actually based on a documentary that came out. So they contacted us. They wanted us to do a comic with them.
Oh wow.
But they were like, oh, we need to do something like really cool. So the wrestler cross dresses, and so I was just like, we need to do a Chris Claremont, Frank Miller like variant cover, like the Wolverine, like this, you know?
Yeah.
But instead of like the claws coming up, he's going to be holding lipstick, and he's going to have the wig on and the lipstick. So he's going to be like in cross dress, but like getting ready to put the lipstick on. And we got a wonderful artist from the Philippines.
Oh, Valentin, I can't wait to see to that, Patrick.
And it's crazy. It came out really good. So that's the first homage cover that we've done. But like, I felt like it was perfect for that character.
Oh,
so.
Right. I think that's Hulk 183.
Well, Hulk 183 copied the Frank Miller, Chris Claremont Wolverine run. The Wolverine run, okay, run where Wolverine is like that comes before the Todd McFarlane Hulk, where Hulk, the reflection of the blades, Wolverine is,
yes, in, mm-hmm. And I'm gonna weird kick on that one. I wish I had just like that one, but I go around collecting those homage covers. So every time when you mentioned Spawn, I was like, oh my gosh, because I'm a huge Todd McFarlane fan, and so I collect. I'm recollecting my childhood, recollecting all my Spawn comics, anything, yep, adjacent to Spawn. And then anything where Todd has touched others or others have homaged him in any way. And I hate it, right? I got this stupid poo books over here. I don't like these covers, Patrick. They're not my jam at all.
Yeah.
But one day someone was showing me the Miles Morales poo in homage to Amazing Spider-Man 300. And I was, mm-hmm, like, oh, buy. Gotta and then as it. Soon as, yeah, I hit buy, I was like, why did I buy that? It's so dumb to me. But, mm-hmm, I don't think I'm going to let it go either because it's Todd's thing, and I'm like, I hate this.
So absolutely.
I'm trying to, I tell people, don't show me anything Todd homaged at all, because I have a trigger finger.
Send all your new stuff to. So you now have a keeper that will buy every single thing. He just, and I know you see his side there. Yourself a new person to just make comics for. So that's great.
Oh, you know you're not on mute. You're not unmuted. I mean, you are muted. You're not muted.
Me?
So, Patrick,
make sure there's no carbon monoxide detector on it.
So, what do you feel like with the whole, like, I think I know what you're going to say, but what do you feel like with all the whole 90s?
Can you hear me now?
But the homage?
Yes.
With the whole, not just homage comics or whatever, but like even like you said, so, you know, you kind of said you were marketing to that demographic, right? That 35-44 demographic. Do you feel like that it's just prime real estate basically right now for everyone? And that's why we're seeing so much of this whole, you know, 80s, 90s nostalgia kicking in?
Yeah, because I mean, because I remember when I first started getting into comics in, you know, the late 80s, early 90s, where I was, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old and stuff, I wanted to read the stuff that was like 8 or 9 years behind me. So like Steve Englehart, like Captain America, and mm-hmm. Roger Stern and John Byrne and Chris Claremont and stuff like that. So I just feel like the movies have done such a good job of it, like encapsulating like 2005 to like 2022. So like a lot of the comics that came out during that time, people aren't super interested in, but the comics that came 15, 20 years behind that, those 80s and early 90s stuff, that's where everyone's going back to.
Isn't that crazy? You saw that whole run of the 90s nostalgia books from DC recently, right? Yep. They went and redid the whole foil covers, and I was like, I'm here for it. I was like, yep. I loved it in the 90s, and I'm going to love it right now.
Absolutely. You know, so it's just like, that's one of the reasons why the name of the company is Legacy, because, like, you know, that those guys left a legacy on comic books, and I feel like that me telling the stories and the team, like, we have seven other people writing and drawing for us, and their books, like, we're kind of rekindling, like, the feelings that we had when we used to open up comics when we were kids. So lots of fun, like, noir and lots of fun. We've got some horror. We've got some comedy. We've got all sorts of stuff. And like I said, we've got physical, digital, the trading cards. Like I said, this is a variant cover of Brooklyn Bleeds. I mean, that's freaking beautiful. You know, so we've got all sorts of, like, we want to reach as many different people as possible. So, like, Condry is, like, a big thing for us. Brooklyn Bleeds, the job. But then we also have Kroom, which is actually, I wrote this is very Shades of Barry Windsor Smith. This looks like very, like, Barry Windsor Smith, like Conan kind of thing. So this started off as a story that I wrote for a video game. I linked up with Peepaw Kett, who was the senior animator on Bioshock Infinite, and we were going to do a video game together. And I wrote the whole story, and then COVID happened. So development kind of slowed down. So then we ended up I ended up hiring an artist, and we did a comic. So it's like, imagine if Link from The Legend of Zelda had a gun. So basically, it's like this it's like if Mega Man and The Legend of Zelda had a baby, the baby would be Kroom. So this planet that has known nothing but peace for the past 250 years is invaded by an alien force, and they have no means to protect themselves. So again, this is very tropey. You know, like, we've seen this formula before, but the thing that makes this different is this invading alien force is not only there to take over the planet, but they are sterile, and they have attacked this planet because they are genetically compatible with this planet. So they are not only going to kill, but they are also going to create a new species, so to speak. And the only thing that can save this planet is this kick-ass, like, robot. You know, so he's a complete, like, badass, and he has his own story because the sword that he uses is the sword that was, like, used by, like, the last great warrior of the planet, so to speak, and stuff like that. So just, like, we'll take, like, perfect example, like what I said with the zombie tale. Everyone knows a zombie tale, and then we put a spin and we totally, like, anchor the book in something different. Kroom is very similar to that. So it's like, if you like 80s and 70s sci-fi comics, you'll totally like Kroom. We also have another book, which I'm super proud of. It's called The Legend of the Night Owl. And it's actually written by Afram Jambalai. And he's a stuntman. He's been on Daredevil. He's been on Law and Order. He's been on a ton of stuff. And The Legend of the Night Owl reminds me of the movie The Warriors. Meets, like, the Sega Genesis game, The Streets of Rage. So it's like a beat-em-up, like, comic book, but the main character of the comic is this old woman that has this crazy backstory. Like, she is, like, undeniably, like, one of the toughest people, like, in our entire, like, label. And she's got a crazy backstory. And like I said, Afram, and if you like Condry, if you like the way Condry looks, it's the same artist. Kieran is actually the artist on this too. And we just had Johnny Desjardins, who
shut the front door.
He did a variant cover for us for Legend of the Night Owl 1.
Are you kidding me?
No, I am not, sir.
Is it on your website?
Bulletproof Comics. It's on Bulletproof Comics. They bought the entire print run. They wanted to do that. But we actually, if you want that cover, you can get it digitally from us. We sell the digital version of it. We don't sell the physical version of it. Uh-huh. So we got Johnny D to do a cover.
He's killing it on Ghost Rider. He's
killing it right now. Yeah, and we got him. Our first books came out in May of last year, and we've already got, like, Johnny D. We also had a licensing deal with the Bram Stoker estate, and they gave us 125-year-old unpublished notes of Bram Stoker's Dracula, and we wrote a Renfield comic book that came out last year, way before all this Renfield stuff right now. Yeah. So that's available on our shop too. That's really cool. We've got so much really cool stuff on our site. Like, I'm so proud of how far we've come in, like, a year. We've got a whole bunch of, like, we've got three or four bangers that are being worked on right now. So I'm really proud of, like, where we've come in the past year.
So that's awesome, man.
Whenever you release anything and you want, I'm doing a shameless plug for my show also, and I'm sure
that's all he ever does
for him.
But well, he has a new show too that he's talking about.
Look, if you ever need a place to come and get interviewed on new projects, I always love talking comics. I always love shining the spotlight.
Whenever you want to have me on, we also have a podcast too. Yeah, I'm down. Dude, I'm down.
I would love to showcase any of your works anytime you're releasing stuff. I just can't find enough people to talk about comics with them. My
sits in our comments just promoting his stuff. And luckily for him, we love him, and so he can get away with it.
Only at the end.
So
we also have
I'm getting close to that time, fellas.
Yeah.
All right. Is there any last question you want to ask, Jaime?
Where
you can ask anything.
My last question I want to do has to do with your future. So where is the next, where should we look to next for you, Patrick? What should we be looking at next over the horizon?
So
closest horizon. Because I don't want to wait a year to go get something. I want to know where I can go to next week or next month and be like, oh.
You can go right now to legacycomics.com/shop. We have all of our books available right then and there. Jaime, I sent it in the little section over there for you already. You can go there and buy our books. We have, like I said, physical, digital trading cards. We have swag. We have mugs. We have T-shirts. We have stickers. We have all sorts of cool stuff. And
I go to your site to buy the books also, you'll sign them, you said, right?
Yes. Yes. And so this is the thing. This is what we'll do. Anyone that buys comics that was listening to the show, I will sign their books for free for them, and I'll throw in a Legacy Comics sticker set. You just got to let me know, shoot me a message on Facebook or email me and say I found out about you guys through, you know, Flows for You, and I'll hook them up with a really cool like 11x17 sticker set of all the Legacy characters. It's really cool. Vinyl stickers. I'll throw that in there.
So you're gonna get a purchase in about 30 seconds from Jaime right now.
Hell yeah. That's so funny. We've got WrestleQuest is coming out in May. I'm super excited about that. We have Conjury 5, The Job Number 2, The Next Brooklyn Bleeds, all coming out within like the next 2 months. We have 3 signings in the next like 45 days in New York and Staten Island and stuff like that. So we have a weekly updated podcast called Talking Comics, where like I discuss the comic book industry. I discuss like what we're doing. I discuss like we did one last week, the 5 best character designs like in comic book history. And I bring on like another writer and another artist.
Is it you and who?
It's usually just me, but then sometimes I just invite somebody on.
Please invite me on.
Yeah,
he tried to, and you kept on talking about your stuff.
But yeah, no, I would totally love to have you on. No, it's okay. So it's Talking, TALKIN apostrophe comics, COMIX. That's on Spotify. That's on, you know, that's on our website and stuff like that. So WrestleQuest, we've got a new Minds Behind the Games book, like I told you guys, with the PS2 book. And then we've got a ton of comics on the Legacy Comic Shop. So we're constantly coming out with new stuff. So yeah, man, check us out. We love to interact with people. Our Instagram is updated every day. The website is updated every day. We have a Patreon that starts as low as $3 a month, where you can see work in progress of all the comics. Like you can see black and whites, pencils, inks. Like you can see the comics as they're being put together. Just
you even got a swell.
Yes, I have a swell that is updated daily. I have like over 2,000 followers right now on Swell, which I think is pretty impressive considering the fact that most people don't have a lot of followers on there yet. So
yeah, I've known about Swell since 2019 South by Southwest. Crazy. But though I've heard nothing about it, I like keep on saying I'm gonna do something about it, but I never do anything about it.
I mean, like 3 weeks ago, I started doing Swell every day, and now I have 2,000 followers. I don't know how that happened. So
that's amazing. So cool to like hear all the things you're doing. I mean, you can leave whenever you need to leave. Don't stress about
that. I should get going so I can get to the class. But Patrick, it was a pleasure listening to you. It was a pleasure interacting with you. I absolutely am thrilled and enjoyed that, Jason, that you invited me on tonight to hang out with Patrick. I appreciate you, bro. And this has been fantastic. And I'm serious. Whenever you need a spot to showcase you and your future projects, please find me. I would be more than happy to find time
for you. I'm going to tell you and whoever's listening, if you want to start a conversation with me, just friend me on Facebook. I'm super approachable. I love to talk. So I don't
I'm going to do that. You know, and I'm going to look forward to coming onto your podcast and talking comics with you, man. Okay.
Yeah, man. I would love
Jason,
thanks again, Jaime, for joining us and having a good time with us.
You bet. We'll talk to y'all later. Have a good night, everyone.
We're not leaving yet, Patrick. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for that.
I'm glad you said that. I almost hit in broadcast.
Dude. Oh,
so sorry.
It was we'll see. Mode. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Bye, everyone.
Thanks for not doing that.
Yeah.
Bye. Yeah, me and him use the same system. So, and that's I do a lot of the video editing and stuff for all his other shows. So as a part of my payment, it's to use his StreamYard, which I enjoy very much.
Hell
And so it's very cool. But man, yeah, no, I love that. I'm glad that you got to talk about all those projects. I didn't know how we were going to get all those projects in, and we were able to get all of them. Yeah, no, it's so cool to hear what you're doing. This is inspiring me because I feel like I can barely do. Said I have the new album, and then I have the podcast, and then I have a puppet show that I'm working on. And it's like, I feel like that's too much. And I've already written the puppet show, which is not something I planned to do. I always wanted my own rap musical, and I just had the opportunity, and we're putting together an idea, and they're like, somebody needs to write the script. And next thing I know, I'm writing the script, which is not my thing. I'm not a writer. I am a writer, but I'm like not a, well, I guess I am now. So it's something I'm learning what I can do and what I can't do. And, It's fun. Now, this is a quick side question, just because I just started messing around with it, is your thoughts about ChatGPT and those AI writers. What's your thoughts on that stuff without going crazy?
You could get a good look at a T-bone steak by shoving your head up a bull's ass, but wouldn't you just rather take the butcher's word for it?
I know. Yeah. No, it's yeah. There you go. It's like, yeah, so, a robot.
I went to the store, you know, and it's just like, as a professor, I can tell the difference between someone using ChatGPT. But the thing is, the average person, they don't really read when they read. So the thing is, ChatGPT can't really express opinion. It can't really quote from other material. So ChatGPT is probably great for writing press releases and stuff that like people don't really care about. But ChatGPT, whatever the hell it's called, it's never going to replace authentic, real, passionate writing by human beings. So
yeah, that's how I feel. Well, and it's hard for me because as a freestyle rapper, it's not a passionate thing. Like I'm literally making up words as I go. So a robot could do that very easy, a lot easier than me. Like ChatGPT, you know, you put a thing, it'll give you a whole story. Like I started using it to do my promos for the show because I am super uncomfortable about my own spelling and word parts. So I find I can get a cooler story by showing ChatGPT how I can what I'm putting, but then they make it look like I can actually
spell. For that's why you're the marketer.
Yeah.
Using ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, it's fine.
But they're never going to be able to make the stories that I make or those kind of things. Exactly. But it's so interesting. But anyways, that is awesome. Do you hear the insanity happening behind me? Is that very loud?
Yeah, my daughter is, come here. You can come here. She's like right next to me too. So I totally can say hi.
Hi.
Let's give some quick chat love. Olaf Slayer is going crazy. Let's see. He talked about his favorite saga, which is my favorite saga is the Infinite Crisis, by Greg Cox. My kids are having a full battle royal at the door. And then let's see. Any other comments here? Pen to paper writer. Oh, yeah, here you go. They'll never play Shakespeare. So there you go.
I agree.
Yeah, I think it's interesting.
Olaf, if you ever want to come on, just hit me up, man. Message me. Let me know that you're the indeed Olaf Slayer 72, and we'll figure it out.
Well, you know that's Kyle, right?
I did not know that.
Yeah, Olaf Slayer's Kyle, dude.
So now Kyle, like, you could have been on whenever you wanted to. So now that's fine. So yeah,
just hit me up. And we'll bro. Yeah, no, that's I don't think I mentioned that it was Kyle this whole time. Mm-hmm. So I always laugh when Jaime's the same way. He has a totally different name than his name, and so it's like, oh yeah, you're just randomly talking to those dudes. All right, so now it's time for us to turn this all into a rap song. Is there anything that you want me to add into this? And let me do. Here it goes. It's now rap time.
It's now rap time.
All right, and I do not know what's happening over there. I wonder if I should check on it. Is my house being attacked by zombies?
Maybe.
Wow. Yeah, is it really loud?
No, that's all right.
All right. Well, I haven't put my monitor on, so I don't want to listen to myself. Okay. Yeah, you can hear it a little bit. It'll add to the song. All right. What am I adding to the song? I got a list of some stuff, so I should be able to do some things.
See what you come up with. Yeah.
All right. And so today, since we don't have Trey, we're going lo-fi beats. I'll give you three options, and you can choose the one you like. So, here's one. Dragon Dreams. Is it nice and loud, or is it like low?
It's perfect. It's perfect.
All right. We got Lullaby. Mm-hmm. Or, and one more.
Yeah, let's do that one. I like that
one. All right. All right, here we go. Normally, Trey does a cool intro. Do you have a cool name you want to give yourself, or are you just going to be Patrick Hendry, Hankry Jr.?
The Caucasian Sensation.
All right. And what up, y'all? This is Scout the Psalmist and the Caucasian Sensation, Patrick Hendry Jr., here on this super track, and I'm going to try to do my best. Here we go. Now I could sit here all together like the country, make it go. A homeless dude about to take over the world, yo. Never see it if you could make it if it's still the same. I don't even know what Sarita's doing any other day. Anyway, what am I to say to myself in the time getting puked on by my kids? I can't try and I don't know why. What am I supposed to be? Why are they dumping on the door? I never see that I be. And if it's like Brooklyn bleeds with this car and this Panther B, and we got a dog looking at crazy things casually watching people eat things and then never go. Only if I see it like the dream was the Everflow. Oh, what am I saying? What's behind the minds of the PlayStation 2s I never really find? If I can't define it, bro, it's all by myself, yo. You went from doing hockey stuff and now you're doing comics, bro. And that's amazing. If I can't be, I think you made Jaime's day and that is happy for me. I know that sometimes we can make it, dog. See it like I could be with my AJ Styles hat on. I still can't ever see. Got that signature, yo, it's so darn fancy. I was like, oh, I got sit down, man. I can't make me understand what my life is. Only if I can't go. You got like 87 projects. Oh, bro, about to lose your mind on Legacy Comics, and now you be got so many new things coming out. Now you wait to be. Don't forget about that WrestleCrest where you go down using like 90 names and fill the voices. And you found, and did you find yourself running out of voices and just be like, hello, I'm Macho Man again, but now I see, haha, and now I cannot do what I was doing, brother. I got to make it like forever in the undercover, but now it's on. I sit it till the dawn and I break it like this height. I know it's calm, but I'm not like Kroom sitting with a machine gun in my hand, but it's a sword that I never understood or understand, and I still can't get it. If you still can't be it, go. And sometimes I wonder if I'm riding a vehicle, I'm driving a bowl, only if I knew what I was gonna say. We got kids screaming and they about to lose their mind yesterday, huh? It's like the Padre 1 and 2. I wasn't waiting for that Padre, but he sounded so cool, huh? I don't get it if I start to drool and your kids like mine are just on the other side like, Dad, oh, I need to talk to you. I never see what I was gonna do, only if I cannot pursue the situation and lose. Oh, I forgot to say, if you got a word in the comments, hey, I will put it in the rap and I can never make it. Hey, didn't you see my NFL pick? Sorry, MFL pick. Only if I can't rip. This is Olaf Slayer complaining about you not noticing him. Patrick, that's messed up. You gotta get it back and grin, huh? But anyways, Trey's gonna be pretty mad that you're not on the show. Only if I can't be sad. Oh, I guess I'm done with the song. I never see I go. But sometimes I was like, this is what I do not know. And I be looking at the power like it's a pinnacle situation. And I'm not running dimensional portals in my lifetime. I got to find rhymes like I wonder why. You're like a professor and cry teardrops rolling down your cheek again. Seeing that chat GPT like, dude, my friend, I understand what you're doing. You're cheating and then losing. You're not going to write a rap for me, man. I'm feeling that I'm losing. Oh, anyways, I guess I'm gone done, but now I breathe it out for the 1-2, son. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. There you go, guys. There's my rap for today. I hope it was good and a little lo-fi. I'm really just stalling because I do not know where the button is to turn off the beat, but I'm working on it.
That was great.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's the thing I do, so hopefully it rocks for this part. I said I love it so much more having Trey mess around with the beat, but I do love rapping to lo-fi beats. One of my favorite things to do. And it is cool, man. Thank you so much for spending time with us. I know we went way longer. If you're listening to the podcast and you're like, they do an hour, why is this an hour and a half? Because Patrick is awesome and he has a lot to talk about. And we had Jaime, and you know, Jaime is when Jaime's on the show, usually it goes for an hour and a half. It's just how it is. He actually asked, he's an actual journalist. He actually asked questions while me and Trey just, you know, talk. And so, but man, we really appreciate everybody spending their time. If you're looking to be on the show, make sure you go to flowsu.com, send us a message and say, hey, I want to be on the show, or send us a message, Facebook or anywhere else, and, check it out. If you're listening to the podcast where podcasts are, which is everywhere, and you want to say, hey, they have people in the comments, that's because we do a live stream every Monday at 5 p.m. CST, and you can watch us on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch under Flows for You. And so that's the number 4, the letter U. Same thing on our website, flowsforyou.com, the number 4, the letter U. And please check that out. Make sure you like and subscribe. If you're watching this right now, make sure you share it and put a little heart or something. I don't know. Do whatever you want. And thank you so much for everybody spending time with us today. I really appreciate it. And I think that's cool. Patrick, should we do the close I talked to you about, or should we just end it now?
It's completely up to you. You're the boss.
Well, I'm. If you think you got some good questions for me, I'm willing to take the heat. But if not, I'm cool with moving on. So what do you think? Do you think you want to do the? This is the therapist where you get to be my therapist and make up 3 facts about my life and ask me questions. And I have to yes and whatever you do. What?
The first one that I would have to ask you.
Oh, wait, let me get this prepped. We're not ready yet. I got you. Gotta. All right. So thank you so much, guys. Make sure you go check out the website. This is the close, and I hope you have a great day. But I will tell you that again. So here we go. Go for it.
What do you do with all of those extra Oreos that dude is spitting out?
Well, we actually have to release over 3,000 for every show, because that's how much Oreo gives us to promo. So we just make sure that goes to everybody. And we do the limited amount of spit outs. So really what happens, he spits it out and then we throw out the original ones, because we're not really trying to get his actual, so we actually go through about 25 actual Oreos that are in his mouth that we do not throw out to the public. But there's a guy that throws out all the other ones to make it look like it's coming from his mouth.
So how does he prepare to spit out Oreos? Does he have to eat Oreo ingredients, or do the Oreos, are they made out, are they Oreo shaped? No. He eats?
It's like a magic trick, right? So like in general, he has 2 compartments on each side of his cheeks that holds 4 Oreos. And then, but he does, and the gross part here is he has this really cool factor where he can actually hold them in his stomach too. So he's able to pull up some at the end, but he needs to have 20 in his comparison. And this is just a very talented person. I mean, truthfully.
Excellent. So like what is the future up for this faction moving forward? Like, if, do you have any replacements in line just in case, like, he can't spit out Oreos one day? Is there anyone in the wings that you're preparing for?
Well, so the craziest part about the marketer is that he's willing to sacrifice his team for the marketing. So it does become weird. We do have a deal with Gillette, which might be weird for the upchuck. You know, we're still trying to figure out how that's going to work. But, you know, in general, Upchuck spits out whatever people are willing to pay us. So, and yes, in theory, we are going to throw razor blades out to the crowd. That is a thing.
I love it.
Yeah.
Very good.
So,
very
yeah. Good.
The fact that you did that with a straight face, you should congratulate yourself.
I'm a professional, man. You asked me about that. I'm like, oh no, now I only do have to make up some, but I have to then make it up like it was the thing I was thinking about. Like it's not like something I've been deeply thinking about for years. Well, I just made it up 5 seconds ago.
Mm-hmm.
let's see. It looks like Kyle has something to say. It's green mist with Oreos. Nice.
I can dig that. That's awesome.
Nice. Stay on the line for a second Patrick, so we can close out. But I'm going to just close the intro here. Everybody else, you have a great and awesome day. Thank you again for spending time with us. Trey will be back next week, and we have an amazing guest that actually talks about freestyle rap, but in poetry and in centering your life. So please come next week and check out the show. It'll be very interesting for me to talk to somebody else that freestyles, but in a totally different way than I do. And so thank you so much, guys, and I hope you have an awesome day. As soon as I know how to press the buttons. You know what I never did is the intro for the podcast today.
Are you looking for a different kind of podcast? How about informative and clean? It will make you laugh. Scout and Trey, yeah, that's what we do. We got a little funny thing, keeping it true. Hey, we take your topics and all your ideas and bring in a guest and we answer them there. Then we make a freestyle.